exalt you this morning. We come to lift you high. You're already high in the heavenlies, but we lift you in our understanding. We magnify you today. May you increase and we decrease in our own knowledge. May you get bigger in our understanding to match who you really are. Lord, I pray that as we magnify you, we will recognize that it's not that we are making you bigger than you actually are. It's not the microscope magnification. It's a telescope magnification. It's those who understand who you are and your greatness that really come to fear you, to honor you, to revere you, to respect you for who you are. And that's what we want to do today. We exalt you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, you are the last service over a packed weekend. We had the women's conference this weekend, and it was great. And did y'all hear that? That's a tired whoop. That's a tired whoop. No, it's been great. It's been and then the last service, Brad alluded to it, that the sound system pooped out on us the first service. So the last service, we did the message first and then the music next, and it was powerful. It was really good. It was really good. You know, the Lord is not constrained by technology. Y'all know that. And I remember we had one time where the power went out, and we did by candlelight. You know, I preached up here, and we continued to have a service. He's just bigger than all that. Y'all know that, right? I mean, he's just bigger than all that. Well, we are continuing a sermon series on the fear of the Lord. And if you weren't here last Sunday, and that phrase just seems negative to you and awkward, the fear of the Lord, because knowing that God is love, I would encourage you, if that feels weird and you didn't hear last Sunday's sermon, go listen to it. We have a online and you can go listen to it. But even still, I'll try to bring a clear understanding what the fear of the Lord is. It's not to run from in fright. It's not to be afraid of God. It is to run to in reverence. And so one good way, one great way to see the difference is to compare and contrast the fear of the Lord with the fear of man. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25 says, "The fear of man is a snare." The fear of man is a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Whoever trusts in the Lord, God will rise above the snares. Amen? But what is a snare? If you're not knowledgeable about a snare is, you can use several different things. Nowadays, we use a cable, and it's kind of like a little noose. And there's two types of snare, the restraining snare and a killing snare. And one just grabs the animal by the leg and restrains them until you come and dispatch. And then the other one, it is the animal's head goes through it. And the more they pull, the tighter it gets until it kills the animal. Satan has a snare for you. And the fear of man's a snare. And I want you to think about those two different illustrations. One, it restrains you. It keeps you from going where God wants you to be if you have the fear of man. It keeps you from experiencing your full kingdom potential if you have the fear of man. And it will completely suffocate you to kill you if you have the fear of man. But what is the fear of man? It's not to run from a person. It's not that I'm up here saying, you know, there's some people that I'm really afraid of. There's really only one man that I'm really afraid of, and that's my dad, because he has whooped the water out of me before. And it's not that we're afraid of people. That's not the fear of man. What is the fear of man? It is to be mindful of people. It is to work for their approval. It is work for their acceptance. When you find someone who has this, they're not running from people, afraid of them. If you ever dealt with someone who had this real complex that they needed your acceptance, that they needed your approval, They will suffocate you by trying to be with you all the time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They get their value by how you see them. And because of that, they have to make contact with you constantly. They have to constantly be seen by you. They have to constantly have your attention. And by having your attention, now if you give them approval, now they feel approved. That's the fear of man, and it's ugly. And maybe you've not had it to that extreme, but you know what it is to be mindful of people, to be a people pleaser, to live for the approval of people. So if you can imagine that, if you can see this fear of man as a people pleaser, one who lives for the approval of others, now shift that over into the fear of the Lord, is to be mindful of him. It was negative over here in the fear of man. It's very positive over here in the fear of God, is to be mindful of him, to want to be near him, to want to catch his attention. It is to, you're not working for his acceptance, because the scriptures already says you are the accepted in the beloved. It's working from his acceptance. Amen? It's not working for it. It's working because you know that you are the accepted and the beloved. So this is the compare and the contrast between the fear of man and the fear of the Lord. The fear of man's a snare. It'll trap you. It'll kill you. If you live for the approval of people, you will die by the lack of approval of people. Y'all follow me? It'll just suck life from you. And so this fear of man, some people are really captured by it, and it is a snare, and they live for people's approval. And maybe you've been there, and I pray God breaks that off of you. But every one of us sometimes kind of, we slip over into that. I preached on Friday night, and this women's event. And I was like a fish out of water. How many 80s kids we got in the house? Anybody? All right, so y'all remember Sesame Street? They used to sing a song on Sesame Street. One of these things is not like the others. One of these things just isn't the same. We had a house full of women, and here's a dude standing up here trying to talk to them. I was so awkward. I was just told the previous service, Pastor, your face was so red. Yeah. And here's where... some of that was, and I had studied for that sermon more than any sermon I have studied for in years. I was so honored that a house full of ladies would ask me to come share a word. I didn't want to blow it. Not only that, I am so aware of my ability to offend. This place was full of women. So I was packing heat just so I could shoot my way out if I had to. And so I didn't want to blow it. I didn't want to mess this up. And I was so honored that the ladies had asked me to come bring a word. I wanted them to be pleased. That can be good. That can lean over into the bad, to the fear of man. To live for people's pleasure is the fear of man. To live for God's pleasure, that's the fear of the Lord. And that's a very, very good thing. Amen? That's a very, very good thing. Let me show you Psalm 147, verse 11. Remember, it's not that you're working for his acceptance. It's not that you're working for his approval. No, you are already told in your scriptures that you are the accepted in the beloved. Amen? If you are in Christ Jesus, if you've called upon the name of the Lord and are saved, if you have made covenant relationship with God through Jesus Christ, realizing that he died on the cross for your sins, and you've called upon the name of the Lord and have been saved, then you are the accepted in Christ Jesus. Receive that. Understand that. That's a solid truth. Amen? So you're not working for his love. I need you to catch this. God's love is agape love, meaning no strings attached and it doesn't fluctuate or change. You can't do anything to make him love you more. Your service, your work, you can die as a martyr. He won't love you anymore. He can't. He loves you to the extreme. But you also can't do anything to make him love you less. That's good news, amen? That you just can't do anything to blow this thing. that Romans chapter 8, nothing can separate you from the love. But while his love does not fluctuate, his pleasure does. You hang on that for a second. While his love does not go up or down, his pleasure can. I love my boys. There ain't nothing they can do to make me love them anymore. Ain't nothing they can do to make me love them any less. But there's been times where they have not been well-pleasing to me. And I wasn't very well-pleasing to them either, amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's a difference, isn't it? Every father, every mother can understand that. No, I can't love them any different. But there are things that makes me just really proud of them. Amen? And then there are moments when I'm grieved. And that is what God's love is like towards us. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Exclamation point. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Spirit. We just sang that song. And I pray that you do that when you get an opportunity to do that. Praise the Lord. And not just in church on Sundays. I pray that you praise the Lord all the time. But my goodness, why would you not do it when you have an opportunity to do it in the house with his people? Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. Amen? It's good, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. I need you to understand, just real quick, praise and worship are two different things. Praise is worship, but not all worship is praise. I need you to catch that. What do I mean? Well, I can worship without opening my mouth. I can worship through acts of service. I can worship just in thought and directing my thoughts to the Lord. But you cannot praise without opening your mouth. You got it? You see the difference? You can't praise the Lord without opening your mouth. You say, well, I can't sing good. Well, speak good, all right? Just start praising the Lord. Speak highly of him. Bless him. You know that word, bless the Lord? You know that phrase, bless the Lord, oh my soul? Bless him. To bless the Lord is the word Eucharisto. You say, I don't know Greek. You know English, Eucharist. it is to speak well of him, to bless him, to praise him with your lips. Praise is good, and praise is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. Do you see that? Verse 1, praise is good, praise is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. You had to open your mouth to do it. Verse 2. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. Aren't you glad that God gathers the outcasts? Anybody in here ever felt like an outcast? I mean, aren't you glad that he gathers together the outcasts? What was the Rudolph, the Island of Misfits? You ever feel like you're on the Island of Misfits? Some of y'all have no clue what I'm talking about. We even have the little figures, the little Rudolph and Bumble's Bounce. Y'all know this? All right, so let me get to the scriptures. I get distracted. Those are fun, though. Burl Ives, silver and gold, silver and gold. Verse 2, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars and calls them all by name. He's good, ain't he? He's better than good. He's great. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. We call that omniscience. There's no knowledge that he don't know. He knows everything. He's infinite in his knowledge. The previous talking about his power, we call that omnipotence. He is all powerful. And here's another good thing. He's omnipresent. Right there in the middle of your struggles, he's there with you. And he's strong enough to get you through it. Sing verse 6. The Lord lifts up the humble and casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry. He does not delight in the strength of horses. Yeah, I don't know if y'all have ever experienced the strength of horses. This guy has. I've experienced the strength of horses. And God looks at that and said, He is not impressed by the strength of men. this passage of scripture. What, like, God's not impressed by that. But what he is impressed with, do you see this? The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. What is it to fear him? To revere, to want his attention, to want to be in his presence, to recognize he is omniscient, he is omnipresent, he is omnipotent. It says the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. Now, you need to understand that when it says in those who hope in his mercy, it's not hope for his mercy. It's hope is not an uncertainty. Hope is, that's a worldly definition for the word hope. Hope is a certainty that our hope is in him. In other words, he is our hope and that he has extended his mercy to us. Amen? And because he has, it caused us to want to be with him, to revere him, to respect him. He is God and I'm not, and yet he allows me into his presence. Amen? Recognizing that. Do you know where affairs happen in marriages? Affairs happen in marriages when you begin to become so familiar with your spouse that you quit looking at them and you start looking around. Everybody with me? You don't have to make a peep if she's sitting by you. But y'all know what I'm talking about. When you become so familiar that you're no longer like you were when you first started dating and you were just so amazed she'd even look your way. You were so thrilled that she even gave you the time of day. You were so just awestruck that he even called you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. In the book of Revelation, there was a church that lost its first love. And what did God tell them? Do the first things. Do what caused you to fall in love with them to start with. When we become so familiar with God and think that you know, it's just the same routine of church and it's the same routine of, I've read through this scripture so many times. If you become so familiar with him that you start looking around and to the world, that's called spiritual adultery. It's all through the scriptures. Spiritual adultery. Where does it happen? How does it slip into the life of a Christian? You become so familiar with God. Let me tell you something. You have not begun to experience the depths of God. You haven't even come close to experiencing the width of him. That life should be an adventure, knowing him greater and more and expanding our knowledge of him. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether absent or present, to be well pleasing to him. Do you see that? If it was automatic that that his pleasure towards us doesn't change, if it was just automatic, Paul wouldn't have to say this. He said, but we make it our aim to make God smile. Did y'all catch that? Are y'all with me? Talk to me. We make it our aim to make God smile. We must appear before, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Let me explain this real quick. There are two judgments that happen in heaven. There are two judgments. One is called the Great White Throne Judgment. And I want to just tell you something. You don't even want to see the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne is for those who don't know Jesus, who have never called upon the name of the Lord, never been saved. It is the judgment of those who go to heaven and those who go to hell. It is what is referenced when God says he has the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. This is that judgment. You don't want to go there. Well, how do you keep from going there? You call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Amen. But then there's what is called the judgment seat. This is the passage that we just read, also known as the Bema seat. Don't confuse it because it has judgment in the word. It's a reward seat. It is where we as Christians stand before Jesus and he hands out rewards for what we've done in this short little lifespan. Everybody tracking? It is a reward seat. It is a judgment, but it is judging Christians for how well they've done. There's no punishment involved. Everybody glad of that? But there is reward involved. The struggle with it is, what if you don't get any? That's where the sadness comes in. What if, and the scriptures tell us, and we've been studying on 1 Corinthians on Wednesday nights, and the scriptures tell us all will stand before the Lord and answer for how we live this life. And here's the thing, if you've been well-pleasing to him, you expect great rewards. But there are going to be those who thought it was just enough to get saved, and they got their fire insurance, and they're just going to get to heaven just with nothing to show for life on earth. That's not pleasing to God. But Paul says we make it our aim to be well-pleasing. Amen? Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. Sorry, I got distracted for a second. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You see what I was talking about in that you have not yet begun to know the length of God. So let us continue to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all of his wisdom and spiritual understanding that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Check that out. Fully pleasing him. How am I going to be fully pleasing him? Being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints and the light. Aren't you glad that you are a partaker of the inheritance of God? I don't expect much of an earthly inheritance except a whole bunch of junk. If you've ever been to my parents' house, you know what I'm talking about. My dad's barn is its own security system. It's dangerous to go in there. Not only that, he's got chicken snakes in there. And intentionally. He don't kill the chicken snakes because they eat the rats. So that's my inheritance. There it is. That's what I got. And all of us, I'm one of five, and every time we have a family get-together, one of these days, we're going to figure out what we're going to do with this junk. That's my inheritance. But the truth of the matter is, I have a spiritual inheritance. Amen. And God has so blessed us in every way. Don't you want to please him? Don't you want to be fully pleasing to him? Look at verse 10 again. That we may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. This is what fully pleases him. Being fruitful in every work, increasing in knowledge, and increasing in strength and power through him. And being thankful, verse 12. I want that for me. I want to be fully pleasing to him. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. I referred to this last week. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. You know what that word actually means? Not just like, well, you've been tolerated. It means well-pleasing. Well-pleasing. I think it's the exact same word. It's not that just, well, you're accepted. No, you've been well-pleasing. And how do we become well-pleasing? With reverence and godly fear. He's pleased with that. He's pleased with someone who just wants to be with him. He's pleased with someone who just wants his attention. He's pleased with someone who just wants to draw from him. Chapter 13 of Hebrews, verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, may he make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. He wants us to want him. He wants us to draw near to him. Sometimes, now let me just pause for a second. This service, the third service, typically has a lot of servers in it. Maybe you're here and you've been serving the first two services. We just finished with a women's conference. We have a lot of tired gals this weekend. We have a lot of tired guys. We had one come in her house shoes this morning. She's tired. You know, sometimes when you serve, there's a little bit of a letdown. Because what you want is you want the thrill. You want to experience the excitement. But it's a little hard to be experiencing exhilaration and at the same time experiencing exhaustion. Y'all with me? And there's a bit of conflict in our emotions when we serve the Lord tirelessly only to be tired in serving the Lord. It's a little bit of a struggle when our emotions aren't hitting those peaks that we want them to hit because we love him and we want to serve him. But sometimes it is that struggle at the end of serving and that, man, I don't feel like I wanted to feel. So here comes the question. Was I serving him for my feelings? Well, then that's not serving him, that's serving me. If I was doing something in order to make me feel good about me, then I'm not actually serving him, I'm serving me. Or, second question, am I serving in order to receive praise from people? If I'm serving to receive praise from people, that's called the fear of man, and it's a trap. It's a trap. And so if I'm serving to be accepted, to be beloved by people, then that's the fear of man, and that's a trap, and it's not pleasing to God. But if I'm serving because I love God and because I love people and I love connecting God and people, then that's a sacrifice, and sacrifice is worship, and worship is pleasing to God. Amen. So let us just get your feelings in check to say, it's not about how I feel. God, how do you feel? How do you feel? It's not, did I get the thrill of doing it? The question is, did you smile on my offering? And if you offered him yourself, if you served him because you love him, God is well pleased. Amen. God is well pleased. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that we would each and every one serve you, be obedient to you, be mindful of you, not trapped in the fear of man, but liberated by the fear of the Lord. Just living large and loving life because we bow before God. And because we bow before God, we can stand before man. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Help us to continue to focus our affections on you. Focus our attention on you. And as we do, you grow in our understanding. Oh, we'll never expand to our understanding to as big as you are. But let us keep on trying. Our understanding will always be limited, and our finite minds will never be able to understand your infinite nature. But let us keep on trying. May you be exalted. May you be magnified in our own understanding. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.